what an exciting thing to think that that's preaching for later, right? So maybe we'll do our scriptural affirmation, 5th chapter of John, verses 5 through 16. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years.
When Jesus saw him by, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?
The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.
Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk.
And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk.
Then I said unto him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk?
And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole.
And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day.
Dear Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the opportunity to come together as a group of people to worship you, come together as a church to honor you, come together because we do not want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we want to be obedient to you, to worship you, to praise you, to corporately say to the whole world that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today, you are welcome in this place. Spirit of the living God, fill us, touch us, lead us, guide us, help us to be the people that you've called us to be so that we might honor you. We give you glory, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All praises. We praise him because he's glorious and wonderful. We praise him because he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We praise him because he's God, God Almighty, our God, and we worship him this day. You may be seated. Father, we praise you and we thank you and we ask that you would speak to us this day, that you would help us this day, that you would work in us and through us and around us this day, that we might recognize your goodness and your grace, that we might sense your presence in a remarkable way, that what happens here in this moment will affect our lives, that this be a watershed moment, a special time. Because you are here and you are speaking to your people. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go to the 5th chapter of John, starting at the first verse. 5th chapter of John, starting at the first verse here. There's just a tremendous amount of material that I would like to cover and probably can't get to all of it today. But that's okay because the Word of God is rich and powerful. Do you read this? You know, we're going through John. Can I recommend strongly to you that you read along with me, that you would be reading John every week, that you would just read through it, just to be let the Word of God speak to you. I like the sound of my voice, but I'm not special. He is. God is special. This is God's word speaking to you. And I'd like to hear the voice of the one who loves me. So, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There were three major feasts. This is indefinite. We don't know which one this was, but there were three major feasts that people were supposed to come to. All the males of Israel were supposed to come to. So there were assuredly a lot of people in Israel in Jerusalem at this time. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, the northeast corner of Jerusalem there, not too far from the temple. There is a sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. I was going to say that, you know. I tell you, you know. Just because my wife thinks she knows the word. But anyway, Bethesda, and she does, by the way, which is a really cool thing. It is a really, really cool thing. You have one? Yeah, that's a whole nother sermon. But now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. It was a really elaborate place, and it was like a two-tiered thing, and there were this pool there, and they would have five porches, five porticos around this place. And there was a tradition, not attested to well in the Bible, but a tradition that people believed at the moving of the water, that if you could get down into the moving of the water and you could be first to get down into the moving of the water, you would get better. That meant the people that were the healthiest in the first place were the ones that got better. So that made no real sense. But anyway, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole, and whatsoever disease he had. So verse 5, where we're starting today. And a certain man was there. There was this man which had an infirmity 38 years. You know what it is to have this sickness that bugs you for year after year after year? You know, some of us have bad knees, and some of us have asthma, and some of us don't see as well as we like. But this thing goes on year after year after year after year, and you kind of get used to it. It gets to be your state. It gets to be how you think of yourself and light. It's just a really frustrating thing. And this guy had been sick for 38 years. And Jesus comes along in this crowded place. There are people all over the place. It was probably smelly, but it was just probably an exciting place to be. You know, for those that like crowds, it was crowded. But for those who didn't, it was probably just this claustrophobic place. And you're trying to find this place in this strange city. And when Jesus saw him lie, Jesus saw him. Don't you ever just want to know that you know that you know that Jesus sees you? I mean, oh yeah, people see you all the time. They see you enough to step around you, you know, or over you. They see you enough to avoid you. But isn't it good when Jesus sees you? He takes stock of the life that you're living. He takes stock of the things that you're going through. He feels you. Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? By the way, that's the question I want to ask you today. Will you be made whole? Will you be made perfect? Will you be strengthened? Will you take the blessing that God has for you? Will you be made whole? And you know, it's really interesting. The guy didn't go, yes, yes. No, that's not his answer. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus, God in the flesh, comes to him, has asked him a question. Do you want to be made whole? And the guy says, but my plan's not working, Lord. I have my own plan here. I have a plan that if I could just have somebody who cared enough about me to take me down into the water when the water is troubled, when the water is moving, when the springs from underneath are causing the water to shimmy, if I just had that, and that's, I've got a plan, Lord. Do you have a plan for your own salvation? Do you have a plan for your own healing? God's coming to you, says, I want to help you. Do you want to be made whole? And you say, but Lord, listen, this is my plan. He didn't ask you about your plan. He didn't ask you what you could do. This guy was explaining what he could do. And it wasn't adequate. Many of us today are asking what we can do, trying to work out our plan, got our own idea, working this stuff through. The impotent man. See what the Bible calls him. The impotent man. The man who couldn't do anything for himself. The impotent man. That impotent man said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise. Take up thy bed and walk. Aren't you glad that sometimes Jesus ignores you? You know, Jesus, if this man had had his way, Jesus would have found some guy to go take him down to the water. Listen, I'm going to station you here with this guy, and as soon as the water moves, you take him down, right? No, Jesus said, listen, I didn't ask you all that. I asked, did you want to be made whole? And then Jesus says to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. I wonder what that feeling was like for this guy who had been 38 years in a mess. And Jesus says, take up your bed and walk, and immediately, the man was made whole. Isn't it a good thing to know that you know that you know you've been changed? That you know that you know that you know that you've been healed. That you know that you know that you know you've been made different. Actually, anybody who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior should know that they know that they know they have been changed. They've been made different, that something has happened. All things have been made new. Do you know that you know that you know that God has worked in your life? You have to know that God has worked in your life. I know. You don't have to be one of those people that necessarily knows the time and the date and the place and all of that. But gradually, there should be something building in you that you come to recognize that God is alive in you. You have been changed. You've been born again. You are the one who is experiencing new life. You are the one who has rivers of living water flowing out of him because God has changed you. Do you know that you know that you know you've been changed? You ought to question that. You ought to think about that. This is too serious a thing. I love to, I used to love to walk. I haven't been walking lately. But I used to love to walk, and I remember I used to walk with a friend, and we were walking along looking at some trees. And there was this one tree in particular that had all kinds of leaves all over it. It was beautiful. It was actually attractive and it was nice. And I was saying, oh, look how nice that looks. And he says, oh, that's dead. I'm going, what are you talking about? Oh, those leaves that you see, they're not really a part of the tree. They've just sucked all the life out of it. You know, sometimes there can be things right in the middle of life, looking beautiful, looking right, but they're dead. Could you be a tree in the midst of life and you're dead? Well, what a horrible thought that would be. If we had a branch right in front of my house on a tree that buds, but it is dead. I'm just waiting for it to fall down. We don't want to be that. We want to be alive. This man was immediately made whole. And he took up his bed and walked. Now, by the way, I know it's going to frustrate some of you. It was on the Sabbath day. He was on the church day. He was supposed to do it the right way. Why in the world would he do something like this on a Sabbath day? I mean, how could it be that someone would actually get healed during a religious celebration? Somebody will get that. And so, verse 10, the Jews therefore, and those are the leaders of the Jews, therefore said unto him that was cured. They see this guy, and he is carrying his bed, just like he has been for 38 years, laying on this mat, and now he's got this thing, and he is walking with it. And they're saying, yay, you're healed. Oh my goodness, how wonderful. That is just great. I'm so excited for you. By the way, why are you carrying that thing? No, that's not what they say. They don't even acknowledge. They don't even acknowledge. Were you the guy that used to lay there messed up all the time? Sometimes when we see somebody who gets saved, who gets really changed, we ought to be excited for them. We ought to celebrate for them. But we're going, are you still smoking? Or do you still go there? Or do you still do that? But They said, I'm changed. I've been made different. I really am different. How am I supposed to live? Well, listen, it ain't that way. You know, We're missing something. So the leaders of the Jews are saying, what's going on here? Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath? You know, it's really interesting. Sometimes the Jews did what they considered putting a fence around the law. They were putting a fence around the law in order to protect the law so that nobody could trespass it. And yes, on a Sabbath you were supposed to rest, and the Sabbath was a signal, a sign, a symbol that God rested on the seventh day and we should rest too, showing that we are people that believe in his finished work and we are relying on his finished work, so we shouldn't be trying to work to make things better at that time because he's really done it all. But you can abuse the Sabbath when you make it so that it is another weight for people. You can abuse the Sabbath when you make it that it's a way that harms the people. And this is what they were doing. They had like something like 39 laws about what you could do on the Sabbath, how far you could walk, where you could go. You know, it was to the point of ridiculousness. Couldn't heal a person, but you could get an animal out of a ditch. But it was silly. So he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. They asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Now this guy who's been healed is saying, oh my goodness, I'm going to be in trouble if I hang out with this guy. I'm going to be in trouble. Now, it's not clicking to him that he just set you free. He just made you whole. And he that was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. There were lots of people there. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. He is not saying here, Jesus is not saying it was sin that it was your sin that caused you to be sick. That's not what he's saying. But what I believe he is saying is that if you are not saved, if you do not believe, there is a worse thing for you. It is a worse thing if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is a worse thing if you die and go to hell. It is a worse thing for you if you don't get this. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Really? These people hate Jesus. These people are going to do bad things to Jesus, and you decide that you're going to go identify him? This man was still being self-protective. This man was still making sure that he was okay. Please don't let what is difficult for you turn you into a person that only cares about you at all times and not about what God would have you to care about. It is so easy for us to get ourselves into a mode of this, I've got to protect myself. This guy saying, this guy healed me, but I'm not so sure he's going to keep me from now on. So I've got to make sure that they know it wasn't me that was violating the Sabbath. It was his fault. You know, it's like Adam and Eve. Adam, why'd you eat the fruit? Well, that wife you gave me, it was her fault. She made me eat that fruit. Eve, why'd you eat the fruit? Well, that serpent that you put in the garden, he seduced me into eating the fruit. Not my fault. That's what this guy is doing. This guy is shifting blame. Shifting blame. We don't need to do that. We need to believe the word of God and not be embarrassed about it. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto everyone who believes. So, there's so much more, and I'm not going to share all that I have on my mind. But I want you to read the rest of this chapter. Jesus is telling us that he is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He cannot do anything without the fact that the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And it goes on down in the chapter, verse 27, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the graves, that's been our theme today, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Come forth. Know him. Know him. God wants to work in our lives in such a miraculous and wonderful way. And his word is so sweet. If you just sit with it sometimes, read a little bit and sit with it. Read a little bit more, and maybe you won't be able to sit anymore. You have to fall on your face. Meditate on the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Share the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Talk about the word on the way. Do you want to be made whole? Let's pray. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to be made whole. Wherever I've fallen short, wherever I don't measure up, I want to be made whole. I thank you, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. Help me now to live in line with that truth. Thank you for delivering me, for saving me, for changing me, for causing me to be born again. Thank you. I believe that the King has come. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried in the grave. And I believe that 3 days later he rose again and is now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for all of us. I believe. Thank you. Moving in your life, or you're wondering why he's not moving in your life, the altar is open to you today. Feel free to come forward.